Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers. Steve.
You suck so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 30. I'm Nick Persanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
Are you listening to me?
And Charles Caldwell.
I'm so old.
Nonsense. Charles, I think your microphone is like in your nose almost. Because all I can hear is your breathing.
I had to zoom in on his picture to see if it was up his nose or not.
Not quite. Not there yet.
By the end of the podcast.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you need to check for seconds. One time when we were at a wine bar, Jess was like, are you all right? You sound like you're dying over there.
Oh, God.
It's just sitting there breathing.
YOLO.
Hey, remember that time when Charles was breathing and we thought he was dead? He was dying.
Nope, I was just breathing.
Just breathing hot and heavy.
Oh my god. Oh, we're having all kinds of recording issues tonight.
Yeah, I didn't even know what to say for my intro, so...
I'm running out of things to say.
Yeah, I mean, I started saying something and I thought maybe I already said it, so then I started, then I started changing and that didn't make any sense.
I've got it easy. I don't say anything.
But,
it's a lot of pressure.
I gotta start a list of predetermined ahead of time.
After all that, we in some news this week. Not exactly gaming news, but really big news that Tim found. Mm-hmm. For anyone that's a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000, they're starting a new show, and it's only a mini series. It's only going to be a couple episodes at this point. But it's on National Geographic, and it's, I think it's April 1st, 8 o'clock, on National Geographic Channel. And I think what it's Mike Nelson, and then it's the two guys that did the voices of Crow T. Robot and,
Tom Servo.
Tom Servo, yeah. And it's the same, I think it's like a very similar setup to what Mystery Science Theater was. And it's going to be set to, like, National Geographic shows.
Oh, right, nice. Okay. Yeah, so. It's called Rift Tracks, right? It's the same name as the thing they're already doing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah, I'm super excited.
It's interesting that Nat Geo is poking fun at itself by allowing them to do this.
I think Nat.
Well, I'm wondering if
it's gonna. I think it's gonna.
I'm
be
wondering
huge,
if it's gonna
Nat
be.
Geo is gonna be like, what have we unleashed? It's gonna be like the number one show.
I think it's gonna be like animal shows, basically, just like.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I could see that happening. Cause, I mean, those shows are like. Basically, I mean, those shows are like so awkward to watch as it is.
I could see it like a. A much better version of America's Funniest Home Videos without, like, that horrible, I forget his name, it's, like, making...
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, or any of the hundreds of horrible hosts they've had, like
true.
Making horrible, retarded voices in the video. At least these guys are relatively amusing to listen to.
I just remember Bob Saget's voice was always, "I'm doing this, and I'm doing yeah. that." It was like, oh my god, Bob Saget.
A really, really bad joke, so he would just look at the camera afterwards like, "You're not funny. Don't do that."
Go back to Full House. Yeah. So that's big news. That's coming up in a week. So if you were a fan of Mystery Science Theater, you should watch this. Because I definitely have it programmed to remind me, because I'll forget.
It's going to be big, but... McLarge huge.
Some other news that came out this week. Coming up in a couple weeks is PAX East in Boston. And if for anyone that's never gone, it's held at the Boston Convention Center, and it's usually pulls in about 70,000 people a year. And it doesn't sound like Nintendo or Sony really? Are going to have a presence there.
I mean,
that's a big deal.
The past few years, Nintendo, they basically just had a relatively small section where they had like 3DSs and stuff.
Right.
So I'm not surprised by that, but if Sony doesn't go, I feel like that's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised by too, especially considering that the new PlayStation came out. So,
what did they do? Like, what have they done in the past? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I assume Sony. Like, I guess it would have been. I mean, the Last of Us would have been a Sony studio, but that's Naughty Dog. So,
did Microsoft have a booth?
Yeah, Microsoft definitely had a booth because their stuff was everywhere.
Oh yeah, because they had a big like Kinect thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And like a stage and stuff. Yep. That's right. I remember that.
Though you're right, I think it's probably going to be more like that. Sony will be represented by the developers that are exclusively to Sony rather than
them. I mean, what else are they going to show? Yeah.
Like the game infrastructure really is more appropriate for some of the larger game expos anyway. It's not like they're showing they can really. Display that to us, and it's more for like developers.
Yeah. I feel like all they can really do is make like the Microsoft booth was just like a big carpeted area where you could go and play games on like Microsoft consoles. So I feel like that's all that Sony would do if they were there. And I mean, there's going to be like so many developers there showing off PlayStation games that it's not really.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
And it makes a big difference for someone like Nintendo because they have such bad developers / no developers that they have to like be there to show their systems off, otherwise no one even knows they exist.
Yeah. Well, all their stuff is like, I mean, they don't have like independent developers even working under them. It's all under just Nintendo brand.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of their stuff.
Now that I think about it, I don't even know, because I think it was 2 years ago that the 3DS came out. And they had a big 3DS thing, and then last year I don't even remember what Nintendo had. I think they might have had like.
I don't remember going to their booth.
They had
at all.
Wii U stuff, right?
Oh yeah. I think that Wii. Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't much.
Yeah.
Because I know I wanted to like see it and stuff, but it was really not that much, and it wasn't really like that easy to get to, so I didn't even get to try it out. I still haven't even played it. So.
Yeah, a lot of the developers had bigger booths than Nintendo. You know, that's crazy. Yeah.
They're doing a real piss poor job of marketing themselves lately.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't go to E3 last year.
Really? Wow.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they didn't go to E3.
They're just giving up.
They're cashing in on cards. Well, they got some stuff that they gotta display, like the new Zelda game and the new Super Smash Bros. Though I'm more excited for that Zelda than Super Smash Bros. Honestly, but
yeah,
we'll see what they come out with. Screw you, Nintendo! I won't miss you.
I'm kind of looking forward to because the Oculus Rift is going to be there. With some new games with that, so that might be cool.
What games come out for the Oculus Rift?
There's not a lot, but I think they're showcasing it with maybe Eve. No. I don't know.
Man, that would be a boring ass game to be played with Oculus Rift.
I don't remember what the game was, but
yeah, I feel like the only shitty thing about that is I bet it's gonna be really sweaty inside that Oculus Rift after someone's
it's gonna be like
I really hope they give you like a head condom to put on before you put your head in there.
It's gonna be like putting on a scuba mask. Except that all the water's gonna be like sweat and drool from the slumbering bastard he uses it for you.
I don't think it covers your mouth.
Bad, yeah, it actually has like one of those like horse like biter things that it just
Well, how do they prevent you from having a seizure?
Lots of padding.
Yeah, they don't tell you they don't tell you to take it off if you start feeling like you might have a seizure, even though like it's not something that you can actually predict. They just make you keep doing it.
Yeah,
terrible.
I'm excited for that.
But that actually we got a listener question, which kind of relates to this, so I'll just throw it out there. From at Slick Rick Stick. great name. He asked, with VR headsets and advanced consoles for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, any speculation on Nintendo's future with competing with Sony and Microsoft? And I think he's referring to Sony coming out with a VR headset, and I think Microsoft is also talking about doing something with a VR headset. I don't foresee Nintendo ever doing.
Yeah.
Ever doing it.
I think, you know, if you look at, like, Nintendo's track record, they're not the kind of company that will do something just to compete. You know, they kind of go do their own thing. So I think if they were to do that. I mean, they've already done it. They had Virtual Boy years ago. They're, like, way ahead of the pack. They don't.
Right.
You know, they don't care. They're not gonna do it just to, you know, fall in line with Microsoft and Sony.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't, Nintendo is always backing their first party brands, and I just don't see any of those games as like necessary with VR. Like, I don't see a reason to have like virtual reality for those.
Yeah.
Pikmin.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the new Zelda, or maybe an open world Pokemon game like Steve wants.
What if the new Zelda was FPS?
Yeah, it's all in first person.
Yeah,
man, that would really screw everyone up.
The thing is, like with the Oculus Rift, the kind of games that make that thing so awesome are ones that are like environment, like immersive.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
You really like, the ambiance of the game is what makes it so awesome. And I mean,
Nintendo is just artsy rather than environment.
Nintendo's never really been about that. So like, I don't really see that necessarily. They're more about functionality and like cartoony and some other things than they're necessarily about like graphics and being pretty and like being like realistic. So I don't really see that. But I mean. Oculus Rift's awesome. I think it's cool. I think it will be serve its purpose in certain things, but
yeah.
And then the VR or whatever. Like, I think it'll be cool. It might like overshoot, sort of like the Wii Motion did.
I don't see. I think VR is going to be kind of like a short-lived thing. I think more likely we'll see like 3D stuff with like 3D screens, stuff like that. I think that seems more likely than everyone playing games with a VR headset, because I just don't.
VR was a big trend, or they tried to make that a big trend when video games first came out, and it just kind of fizzled. Yeah.
There was VR when I was like 10 years old. I went to a museum of science, and I'm like, this is VR. It was like, put a big thing on your head, you know? It's like Virtual Boy. Everything wanted to be VR then.
Yep. Wasn't Virtual Boy only like. Wasn't it only red lines, though?
Yeah.
It only had, like, Mario Tennis and some, like, space game.
It had Wario. But, like, okay, that actually was three-dimensional, though. I'm just saying. Yeah. That actually was, like, kind of cool, but I mean, it was like all Nintendo things. It just didn't have any games that were good on, so it just died. Well, okay, the whole thing was pretty stupid, actually. It was super huge, and you couldn't actually strap it to your head, which is a huge flaw in, like,
it came with, like, a tripod, and you had to, like, set it.
Yeah, you had to, like, lean forward and get your eyes in
I'm pretty
there.
Sure I still have, like, a deformity in my spine from trying to use that thing, like, portable. Like, I'd be, like, sitting in a car, like, trying to use it, and it was, like, on my lap, and it didn't, like, work or
anything. Steve has acute onset scoliosis.
I'm like, virtual boy back problems, hashtag.
Virtual back brace.
So, I don't know. But, I mean, I think, like, seeing some of the games that people were playing on Rift, I think it would be cool. I think it's, I don't think that, like, first-person shooters and shit will ever work, because then you have this problem where, like, you're looking, and you're using your keyboard, and you're turning, like, something happens behind you, turn around, and I don't know, I don't think it's gonna happen, but...
You've gotta, like, nod, and then that would be, like, a turn, so you gotta be like this, and then just nods, and you could play this scene.
Yeah, I think it will be, like, kind of for niche, like, adventure games, or like single-player games. Definitely not anything, competitive or anything like that.
But, well, yeah, I mean, I could see it in games like Gone Home, or, you know, some of those games that don't have necessarily the amount of action that some of these other games have, just because I feel like it's just going to be, like, so much to take in.
Yeah, I can just see it being super good with games where, like, you're in the moment, like Slender Man or something, you know, like, you're just, like, you're doing something, and you're looking around, and then it's just, like, you get, like, and, like, you know, I just feel like that would be, like, so awesome, you know, or you're, like, in the woods, and you're looking around at things, you just become, like, you just kind of, like, you're out of the zone of, like, you're in the game, and that would just be really cool. I think it would be a lot of fun, and I think if they make it, like, lightweight enough or nice enough, whatever, like, it might actually, you know, it might be something where you wear it even though it's not, you're not turning and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it might be something where you can, like, you can, like, sit in your bed and play a game or something if you really wanted to, or sit on your couch and play a game instead of having to sit at a desk because you have the screen that's just, like, smacked in your face.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's really a good point, is that, I mean, it kind of, the whole point of it is that it can get you away from your computer. Or not really, but, you know, get you away from your monitor. Maybe if they make them wireless, you can sit wherever you want and really, instead of having to have a 85-inch TV or a giant monitor, be able to sit back and use the Oculus Rift to play games. Even if it wasn't completely, like, ported to the Oculus Rift, then everything was logged in. And as long as it could be some sort of monitor for you, it could be an alternative use.
Yeah, I mean, I think to go back to Slick Rick Dick, whatever the fuck his name is, Slick Rick Dick, or Stick, to go back to the question, I think VR kind of is an opposing trend to what Nintendo generally tries to do. I feel like Nintendo is more of like a living room gaming company, like everything they do is about bringing a group of people together, whereas VR is a very lonely type of device. You know, it's designed for people like to sit by themselves. I mean, I guess you could do it together, but that just means you need more VR headsets and whatnot. That's just
like extremely ridiculous if somebody walked in on that.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, what are you pod people?
But yeah, so I think that Nintendo kind of wants that. You know, they're going for like the couch, the living room couch. You know, community, not someone who would buy a VR headset.
Yep. Agreed. But speaking of VR headsets, Steve, you put up big news.
Oh yeah, you want me to talk about this? So yeah, this is pretty big, and I think that this is today is when this broke, but I guess Facebook is in the works right now for buying the Oculus Rift Firm, which is kind of the, I mean, I was referring to VR as Oculus Rift, but this was kind of the leading Kickstarter type thing that was going on, which was VR, which PlayStation 4 already kind of like released what their version was a couple weeks ago. I think we mentioned it, but yeah. So Facebook is they haven't bought it right now, but I guess it should sometime quarter two. They're supposed to buy this for $2 billion, which is just insane. But
that is insane.
You know. They did the same thing with Snapchat. They tried to buy Snapchat for $1 billion. Like, I don't know. They have so much money, and it's just like, yeah. It must be mind-blowing to own a company like this and then have Facebook offer you $2 billion for it. Like, I don't even know, like, how do they even have that much money? That's like, $2 billion is like, I mean, like, the Red Sox are worth like $1 billion. Like, it's like, we're talking about, like, one of the most expensive, like, industries in like American like commercial products, and it's like, yeah, this Oculus Rift thing was like a Kickstarter like last year, is worth like twice as much. It's unbelievable.
What's the name of the guy who he was the head of ID Software and he left it? I'm pretty sure he took a leadership role with Oculus Rift. I forget his name. But I mean, there's a lot, and he's like a rocket scientist in his spare time. He like launches rockets and stuff. But there's like a lot of big name people who work for this company. So it's kind of scary to see Facebook buying up all these things.
Okay, so I see in the article here, and this kind of will like maybe mystify some of the cash thing. So they actually bought it for $400 million in cash, and then they gave them $1.6 billion worth of Facebook stock. And so,
what?
And actually, after the deal happened today, Facebook's stock went down 1%, like in an hour. Because people were like, "What the fuck?" Like,
I think the real thing people were thinking was, "Are we going to see VR Farmville?"
Oh God!
Yeah.
Or am I going to be able to play Candy Crush Saga?
I feel like. this is a great top, not top five for us, which is games that would be terrible with VR, and like any game that has like real time based.
Like, think more along the lines of Facebook wants their own Facebook glasses, and they it's like, oh yeah, Oculus Rift, that's what that does, right?
Oh, that's a smart move on their part to kind of bridge it from a different angle.
Are you gonna be able to like? Cycle through your profile and newsfeed virtually, like turn your head and like look at some other stuff. Over here and see some videos.
Instead of like real voyeuristic.
Instead of like having to click on something to like it, you just lick the screen.
What?
Only Charles. User settings. Well, actually, what this tells me, I think more so than anything, is I think that Facebook is really. Becoming more like Google than it is.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to branch into other sectors of technology. And, like, in up until this point, I think that they've invested in things that were related to Facebook, like Instagram and Snapchat. Things that were, like, that they could integrate into Facebook very well. I don't really see how they integrate this into Facebook. To me, this tells me that they're just trying to branch. Like, there's no way they're going to actually... They may have, like, some type of compatibility, but there's no way that, like, they want to use VR for Facebook exclusively, and they want everyone who has Facebook to have a Oculus Rift so they can use Facebook, and that would make no sense.
Yeah. I mean, even, Google has a whole, like investment arm of the company that they just invest in, like, random stuff that they never even use. They just do it to put their money somewhere because they have so much of it saved up. I think that's probably just what this is. I don't think that they have any intentions of, like, integrating it into Facebook in some way.
Yeah. That's interesting because it means Facebook really wants to push, gaming or anything. You know what I mean? Like Facebook wants to, we're gonna have a Facebook console. It's like that's like the way it looks, so to speak. Like, they want to get into that stuff. It's just crazy.
That is crazy.
Because there'll be a console of Farmville's and Candy Crush Sagas.
Well, at least they can have their own console. They can stay the hell away from money.
All right, we should have an episode where we talk more about VR and just like get a little deeper into VR land.
Okay.
I think that'd be good. But that brings us to our topic this week, No segues. The
segues are for chumps.
Segues are for lazy week... people, actually, because you just like roll around on them.
And police officers and post office workers.
People on tours.
And hunters. Yeah, that's right. You can sneak up on your prey real quiet in the woods.
Yeah, you're just riding a Segway through the woods.
That's yeah, off, there's off-roading Segways, I tell you.
Big wheel Segways?
They have ATV tires.
What?
Yeah, they exist. Insane. I've seen them. They brought them to an event I went to. I was like, what the hell is that? Is that a Segway? What?
They're like, what? Oh, those are Segways for hunting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. So anyways, this week I wanted to discuss a little bit personalities, like individual personalities and how they affect gaming and how an individual plays a game or the type of game that they play. And I was just curious, I mean, like, The biggest thing I was wondering about was, like, introvert, extrovert. Like, if introverts play a certain type of game or extroverts play a certain type of game. If, like, extroverts play, you know, Call of Duty online all the time. Or if introverts, you know, are more a single-player campaign sort of game player.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it really... I think anyone can play any of those games. I think what really depends on is how much they actually interact with the other players. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to just go on and play multiplayer, but it's a whole other thing to join a clan, to, like, talk smack to people while you're playing, to actually have people in your friend's profile. Because I can tell you, honestly, when I was playing any of the Call of Duty games, I think the people that were in my friend's profile were all, like, the friends that I have to play games otherwise. I didn't create any new friendships from any of the people that I was playing with.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Because I'm definitely an introvert, you know, and I did join a clan at one point, but I did it so seldomly that they actually ended up kicking me out. I was like, shit, sorry, guys. that was for Battlefield 3. But, I don't know. I mean, I'm an introvert, but I like playing online games. I like playing... It depends on who I'm playing with. Like, I think the same goes with real-life situations. Like, I can go into something with someone that I know and have a good time and just fine. So I'll play an online game with any of you guys or anybody else on my friends list that I like already kind of know. But like starting up a game with anybody they don't know it's not as enjoyable.
Yeah. I would describe myself as kind of like a single player multiplayer. And I spent a lot of time playing like MMOs. That's probably my number one game would be MMOs, and for a long time I played a lot of them, you know, with like Steve and a lot of other people. We all played together, and it was actually like people that I knew in real life, so that was like a different experience, because before that I'd always played, like, I would just join a random guild, and then, you know, it gets like end game, and then you kind of like get to know people. So there are a few games. I remember playing Vanguard, and we got to, you know, we had a decent guild, and we got to, like, end-game content. You get to, like, know these people, and, it turned out one of the guys, like, lived in New Hampshire near us, and so it was like, oh my god, you know, we could actually meet each other, and it was weird to, like, create a, you know, to go from, like, something where the only real way you know that person is from their voice on, like, TeamSpeak, and their, so, like, you take their voice, and then you picture, you like make up an appearance for this person, then the only real like physical indicator you have is what their character looks like. So this is like this burly ass dude's voice, but he has like a little gnome character, like what's going on. So, but yeah, you know, it was weird to kind of have that experience with people. And you know, since then I don't do that as much as anymore. You know, now it's mainly people I really know that I game with. But
yeah, and I think it helps that so many, like, I think a lot of people play a lot of games now, so it's,
yeah,
it's becoming easier to, like, play with your friends that you know, whereas, like, in the past, you kind of have to, like, if you want to, like, be involved in multiplayer games, you have to make a lot of friends in the games. But yeah. I think, like, to go back to, like, whether or not introvert, extrovert, I think that it's kind of, like, I don't think it's really dependent on either of those. I think maybe the styles of games, like, may be dependent. Like, because obviously some games lend themselves to extroverts, like Mario Party. Like, you don't play Mario Party if you're an introvert. Like, you just don't. So, I mean, it's just, like, doesn't, I mean, there's no, you don't have a choice. So, like, I mean, there's certain games, I think, that you can, like, really, like, rule out certain people. But I think that the, like, the beauty of gaming, or the, like, the, even, like, multiplayer gaming, like MMOs and stuff, is that, like, they really lend themselves to both styles of people. And even, like, and even in some ways, like, introverts can become extroverts, because, like, I know people that are, like, super introverts, like, I don't even talk to them anymore, but they, like, are huge and, like, wow, and they have guilds and friends, and, like, it's just, like, it's like an outlet for them almost to be, like, an introvert with friends,
mm-hmm.
if that yeah. makes any sense. Because sometimes people don't like dealing with people, or they don't like, you know, going out of the house, or they have, like, anxiety and all these things, but, like, video games gives them an outlet to, like, communicate with people and interact with people, like, as much as they want, and then they can, like, shut it off, so to speak. So yeah. they get exactly as much, like, kind of interaction socially as they want. And so I don't think that it's, like, one of those things where, like, oh, if you're an introvert, you don't like playing, like, WoW. Because that's, I think, like, that's why WoW's so successful, because I think there's so many introverts on WoW.
Yeah.
And, like, and vice versa, like, I mean, there's people, I think, a lot of people that play, like, Call of Duty that are introverts or extroverts. Like, I think it, like, this is the nice thing about gaming, is I think it really bridges a lot of those gaps. But at the same time, I think, like, how, what you do in those games and how much you do is really indicative of your personality.
And I mean, like, do you think you choose a certain character or class depending on if you're an introvert or extrovert? Like, if you're going, I mean, like, if you're going to play, like, Borderlands, and you choose, like, a sniper class, like, would you be an introvert? Or if you're an extrovert, do you choose, like, the melee class?
I think that's, I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah. I think it's more complex than introvert and extrovert, because,
yeah,
you know, it would be, it'd be too easy. I'm sure, though, that, like, if you had every gamer take a Myers-Briggs test and then correlated class choice to that, I'm sure you could find some sort of correlation where, you know, if you're more of an introvert, you're more likely to play a
solo, probably, class.
Yeah, or you know, if you're an extrovert, you're more likely to play a support class, and, or, you know, like a tank or a support. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's probably true, but I think I agree in that, like, if you looked at it, it's probably that way, but I bet you there's more to it in that, like, you can be like an introvert who's, like, really caring, so you play support classes, or you can also be an extrovert who's, like, a huge douchebag, and then you want to be, like, a rogue and just backstab people constantly. So, like,
those kind of decisions really get taken into account with, like, my style of play, and I don't know how much that goes into, like, my personality, but, like, I have a really hard time playing a game consistently if I'm not having fun, and having fun has nothing to do with whether or not I'm playing with, like, with other people. It's really all about, like, my experience with playing with my skill level and, like, how much I'm enjoying the game. Like, I hate it when I get involved with something and then I find that, like, I've joined some guild, and then I have, like, a week or two passes, and I'm like, God, this is just excruciatingly boring. Like, it's the worst, because you feel like you create all of this. You don't want to, like, just say, well, screw you, I'm out. But that's essentially what I got to do at the time. It's like, it's no fun, so why would I play this? I'm going to go play one of the other games on my list that's going to be way more, or at least is new, so maybe it'll be more fun. I don't know, but That happened to me twice with Eve, actually. I got through the whole process of getting everything logged in and then joining a guild, and then I just realized, like, the first time it took a lot longer, but the second time I got in was like, God, this game is just boring as hell. At least for me. I mean, it was just for me, so.
Yeah.
May or may not be a function of the game. But I think the other thing too, and I think that this we're on the right like lines with this. Maybe we're getting too focused on introvert and extrovert. Is I think that like certain certain games are certain personality traits. Like I would say, like big ones are like confidence, like how you think about games. Like are you like, and like I can think about this in like game like in terms of like MMOs like WoW or like Dota or something like that. Like, if you're like a confident person who like likes to be aggressive, you like you pick a certain type of role in the game.
Yeah.
And so you play certain types of game too. Like if you're like a very confident like person, like first person shooters I think are like a really good game for you. Like if you have a problem with like getting smacked down or like if you don't like want to like just smoke everybody, I think those games aren't like, you know what I mean? And so I think that there's more to it. Like it's like your personality and how you feel about certain games like dictates the types of games you play, and I think those two words that we were using were probably more of like a very general thing.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Word.
We did have some listeners. I asked some listeners, do you think your personality affects the games you play and how you play them? And @I_MiguelMartins said it can affect, yes. Same goes for your mood. If you're tired, the weather and other things too, at least for me.
That's so a good point.
Exactly what he says. Like mood has a huge player in what you're actually going to play.
Yeah, it is for me, definitely, because there's certain times where I'm like, you know, I really feel like just kind of being like, you know, I really feel like being adventurous. I mean, I know it's a stupid kind of a corny word, but like, you know, it's like I kind of like, I feel kind of like...
That's what she said?
Getting weird.
It's like, you know, weird with it.
There's like sometimes, you know, where you're just like, you know, like I'm kind of bored, so to speak. Like I'm bored with the same old game. I want to do something where I have to like, I want to like get involved in a game. And so then I'll go and play a game like that's, you know, has a lot of story, and I'll listen to all the storylines and do all the side quests and stuff where, you know, I think it's, and that's really a mood thing. Like I don't always feel like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I do that all the time where I'll have like a couple games lined up where you have like, I'll have like my downtime. Maybe I'm like snacking on something. I'll play like some game that's not like super intensive, and then I'm like, all right, I want to fry my brain. I want to be like on the edge of my seat, so I'll play like FPS or something. You know, do something just to get my nerves going. But you know, I think that's it's a testament to how far games have come, where you can really. It's almost like music, even where you can kind of build a like a catalog of games that basically cater to whatever mood you're in at the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think that far ahead. Once I start playing a game, if I come home and I'm like, man, I really do not want to play that game, I'll watch a movie or something, to be honest. I think all the games that I've got on it are pretty adventure-y, like large sweeping storylines. I don't really have any first-person shooters on my immediate list, but one of the biggest things that will get me in a game is if I spend too long away from it, and then I come back and I can't like get my gears back in for foot fitting into the storyline, I'm like, well, fuck this game.
it kills
me pretty much.
Yep. I think like if we're talking about mood, like my mood can dictate whether or not I even play on console, or if I'm playing, like, sometimes I'll just decide I want to play on the Vita, like, for whatever reason, you know, I just want to, you know, the other night I could have gotten out of bed, I couldn't sleep, and instead of coming into the living room and playing Tomb Raider, I played something on the Vita for like 4 hours, and it was like, just in bed. I just didn't feel like doing
exactly.
Anything else like that.
Yeah. You just like want to chill out. So you just I'm the same way. I have like Tim said, I have a list of games that, especially with like Humble Bundles now, where I just get so many games. There's no way I can beat them all, and I have them kind of just like in queue for my mood. You know, I was like, this game's a very puzzler game that's gonna have to think a lot, so I have it ready for that. If I feel like that, I have this one that's like very stupid and just kind of smash 'em up game. So when I feel like I just want to chill out, play that, you know, it's very true. It's a very good point.
Yeah, there's times where I'll just be like sitting on the couch and I'm like, and I'll just start playing like Bejeweled and like I feel like my soul is being sucked out of my body right now. But at the same time, it's like I gotta fucking get the I gotta get those little diamonds. I want to make everything blow up. I don't care. You know, it's just that it feeds it. You know, feeds into whatever mood you're in at the time.
Yep. At that Chaffee also wrote in. He always likes to write into us, which we appreciate. he says, "Yeah, it does. Personality. Yes, it does, especially in games like Walking Dead and Infamous, where you get to make moral decisions." In real life, I'm always working in improving the group, so I tend to do the same in games. Which we didn't.
I
really
suffer from this affliction as well. In days gone past, I would be completely evil, and I would go like the first fable. I think I walked into the town, killed everyone in the town, and walked out. And the quest went fine; everything else turned out fine. But now I'm playing these games, and it's like, man. I feel like I gotta be the good guy. I go through all the good decisions, and because if there was a good evil discussion line, then maybe it would be. But it feels like all the evil discussion lines are so friggin' stupid.
I feel like it's almost even. It could even be related to age, because I feel like when I was younger, I was like I had to be evil. Like I was like if the good choice came up, I was like who would choose that? Who's gonna play this and be good? Like. What? Who in their right mind would like you? You could have the chance to kill people, kill innocent people, when you choose not to. But now it's like I play games. I'm like, I gotta save these people, man. What, like, if these are my kids, I gotta save them. I can't let these people die. You know, it's like your morality becomes real after you reach a certain age.
Yeah, I mean, like you see it a lot in. I mean, I remember playing like Fallout 3 and. I mean, you're given the chance to, if you haven't played, there's a town called Megaton, and it has a giant nuclear bomb in the center of it. And you have the...
Potential spoilers if you haven't played.
Yeah, potential spoilers. So don't listen for the next, like, 15 seconds. so you can blow up Megaton, or you can save Megaton, or you can disable the bomb. And blowing it up just completely kills everyone in the town, destroys everything, and you get a little bit more evil.
I thought that Fallout, the Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas did a really good job with the evil track lines, because, and it's been a while since the last one came out, because you didn't just get to blow up the town. You got to blow up the town, and you got a hotel room in that in the tower nearby. You got like 1,000 caps. You got a ton of stuff that really
named Penny Royal, the guy with all the zombie servants or whatever, I forget what they're called. Yeah, I literally killed every man, woman, and child in that town and then blew it up just to send the message.
Yep, I'm pretty sure I did the same thing and what broke into all their houses and stole all their stuff and then blew it up.
And then there was a little kid who would be like, "Hey," and then he was the first to go.
Yeah, the best part for that was you walk into somebody's house and they're like, "What are you doing here? Who sent you?" And then you shoot them in the head, and then you go to their bed, you search under their bed, and there's 500 caps under their bed. And you're just like, "That's right." But when you don't have any incentive, like you search their house, there's nothing good in it. They don't even talk to you. You just walk into their house. It's like, well, I could kill you, but. Why would I? I mean,
I feel
what,
like
what good is evil if it's not like with some, I don't know.
I feel like another part of it too is also like some games have like really strict ways that they like control or ways that like your decisions will affect the game. Like I think like for example, GTA. If you do too much crazy shit, then the cops are gonna come after you, and then you know it's like a real incentive not to be like ridiculous. Right. Whereas in this game, like, you just go around killing everyone. I mean, you'll get, like, bounties and stuff, and, you know, towns won't like you, but there's less of an incentive to not, like, do ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Like do a cheat so that all of a sudden your grenade launcher just shoots like 100 bullets a second and you're just like going to town and just blast everyone. Oh no, it wasn't the grenade launcher, it was the fat boy. The fat man. I just went into town and just launched the million rockets at everything.
Can we just do a side chat here? And I can't wait for Fallout 4. I don't care what it is or what it's about or where it is. I just want Fallout 4, like, now.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll see. I didn't play New Vegas. I played Fallout 3.
Same here, yeah.
But
I played New Vegas up until a certain point. I enjoyed it. I just don't know. Like, it didn't suck me in as much as Fallout 3, but that's just because I had already played Fallout 3. And so anything, I mean, once you're exposed to a concept, it's kind of hard to get, like, enamored so much.
Yeah.
I just want to see how the Fallout world could look on, like, next-gen or new-gen consoles.
Yeah. I mean, if they do it well, it could be really good. I mean, the game is already, like, really drab. I mean, it's, like, this barren world with nothing but sand and, like, old buildings. So, I mean, if it's, like, spruced up and really looks good graphically, I think it could be really fun.
Definitely.
Didn't they have Mel Gibson be a voice actor for Mad Max? And
they should.
Gotta go all out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk away.
We didn't talk about the personality tests, but we kind of passed through this already.
It's fine. I did my personality test, by the way.
What were you?
I don't even remember already. I got it right here. Extrovert, intuitive, thinking, perceiving. I don't know what that means. I'm an extrovert. That's what it means.
Oh.
Yeah.
It gives you all these... So basically it has four different categories, like extrovert, introvert, intuition versus sensing, thinking versus feeling, perceiving versus judging. And so then it rates like how much you are along, like percentile, like swing you are along those. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I was an INTJ, so it's... I don't even know what those mean, but judging,
introvert, intuitive, thinking, yep. Judging.
Yep.
Yeah. So my fiance is a psychology. She's going for a master's degree in psychology. So I've had to take this a few times, and so is she. And she said the best way to get like a real idea of what you actually are is have someone take it for you. So if someone take it and say what they think you would be, you know, from their perspective, because a lot of times people fill this out as kind of like their ideal self. So INTJ is one of like the most commonly chosen ones, but it's incorrect most of the time. Like I always get INTJ, and then sometimes to take it again, I don't get it. But INT, like a lot of people pick INTJ because it's kind of like what you wish you were, but you never turn out to be. You know, it's easier if someone else takes it with you, and you kind of average your scores because then you get a lot more accurate about it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so I would notice that too, and like a lot of the questions they ask are like worded differently, and then you like answer them completely opposite. Yeah. Even though they're basically the same question, but you're like, well, at this point, now that I think about it, like I guess
like,
I
what is
like
this? What is this? A test for my security clearance? What the hell? I see on question 4 you answer differently than you did on question 2. What does that mean?
It means you're like flaky and you don't know what you are.
It means I'm a terrorist and I'm gonna burn down everything.
Oh, and that brings us to our top 5 this week, which is the top 5 worst character personality traits in video games.
Can I just say that all our top 5s are actually, like, not top 5s? We should just change
not top fives at all.
We should just call it the not top five.
The not top five, because we're always doing the top five worst.
Worst, yes. We're always like,
five things that are of interest.
But we always like say like whatever our topic is, we say like the five worst things like related to it.
Yeah, but this goes back a long ways. Worst can also mean best.
True.
That is true.
So like when we say worst, we might mean, well, like if we say that's the worst, we might actually be thinking in our heads that's the best.
Just like that is terrible. No, well it is. You're right. It is pretty excellent.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I mean, it also sounds much better than bottom five, so...
Yeah. Bottom five?
You're like, awkward.
Get on the bottom, you five.
Sorry. Divergence.
That movie looks awful, by the way.
It destroyed at the box office this weekend.
Did it? Oh, God, it looks terrible.
It looks really bad.
I can't stand the main girl in that, because she was in that awful show on ABC Family that would always come on all the time. It was just like, I hate my life. I don't know, it just made me want to, like, murder people.
Yeah, just watching the commercial makes me angry.
Yeah.
Are you Divergent? I want to choose my own path.
That makes no sense.
I really feel bad for Kate Winslet. How did she get roped into that?
She's washed up.
Because apparently the book was good. And they're like, the book's real good.
Too soon. Titanic reference.
I'll never let you go.
So washed up.
Get out the boat! Get out the boat!
So, number one... Charles, why don't you take that one?
Sure. I put down neuroses for different heroes, specifically Mario or Link, because they're always neurotically searching for the princess, regardless of anything else that might go on in life.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what, is this like your only thing? Like, is this the only thing you can ever do? Like, chill out.
The worst thing, too, is like, there is some kind of implied story with Mario and the princess, right? Like, they're supposed to, like, but Link, he just, like, searching for her, and he's, like, not even supposed to, like, know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, like, a pretty big commitment.
I think Mario and
especially because he runs into, like, Link, Ocarina of Time, he runs into, like, the fairy girl, he runs into what's, like, Eppon is the horse. What's the name of the girl that he runs into there? He runs into that girl there. He runs into the Zora girl. And each one, he's just like, nope.
Yeah, dude. He's a player.
Well, Andy, is it Sheik? Or Sheik that's actually Princess Zelda, but like dressed up?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Link's got problems. He's got no.
He's like, dude, I went through time to get you. Yeah. Like,
I mean, just when can we hang out? When can we hang out? When can we hang out? Huh?
Yeah.
I think this goes back to there's like a lot of sexual tension in the early Nintendo games.
Mm. Yeah. Mario and Peach definitely had a one night stand, and she might be pregnant, and he's like trying to get after her, and I think that's what happened. I think that's the backstory there.
Definitely.
She's got a bastard child dress in her belly.
Every time he gets to Peach, it's a redemption, and Bowser's actually the pregnancy test.
Plan B.
Plan B. All right.
Number two.
Number two. Alright, I'll do this one. This is Silent Heroes. So, heroes that don't speak in games. And we have Samus here, but there's a lot of other ones. I just can't think of them right now.
There's the Point Man from Fear that doesn't say a word. You just stare silently. Yeah. He's even in cinema scenes where like people are talking to him, and he's just staring.
You can put like a lot of FPSs on here, too, because...
Yeah.
Not only do they have no... not only do they not say anything, but that you never actually see them because you are them.
Yeah. Right. Right, exactly. That actually that bothers me. I hate that you never end up talking in a lot of those games.
It's like Gordon Freeman, Half-Life.
Yeah.
He's like considered like one of the greatest heroes ever, but he doesn't say anything. You're just him. What you did is what he did, so it's not like...
Yeah, it's a good one.
Ridiculous.
Number three.
Yeah. We chalked that up to childhood trauma.
Childhood trauma.
Alright, number three is no personality. So I think the best example here is Snake, but not the Snake you're thinking of. I'm talking about Snake from Snake. A little line that had a voracious appetite for dots. But he couldn't hit himself. Oh no, if he did, it was over.
He would just eat him. He would eat his own tail if he came back around to it. He's
the dumbest snake ever.
I can just imagine him being like, oh, I got a dot. Oh, I got another dot.
I feel like he would have been a really cool character on Wreck-It Ralph if they had done Snake.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
for a second,
that
I thought you were gonna say, yeah, it's not that bad. For a second, I thought you were gonna say Super Smash Bros. Melee or whatever.
They should make a movie about Snake that's called Snake, also in the Tron universe with Jeff Bridges.
Just do like the ultimate mashup: Snake, Tron, Wreck-It Ralph, Super Smash Bros.
As long as Jeff Bridges is in it, it's good.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of like early, really early video games that would fall into this category. Mm-hmm. Like Joust.
Yep.
Or like any of those really, really bad games that they had at the arcade from like the 70s.
Pac-Man falls into this category.
Any racing game.
Yeah.
Pac-Man, definitely. Although until
the racing game they used to have at the community center in Bristol. God, that thing used up so much of my time.
Which one was that?
I don't remember the exact name of it, but it was they had the arcade, three arcade games in that center.
Yeah,
and one of them was the racing game where it was just basically like Formula Racing. And you go around the course, and you'd have to get certain times, and you can unlock a different course depending on how well you did. It's like hard, easy, or medium, and you could choose. But man, never got that far.
Hmm. They had Mortal Kombat there at one point, but which I'm surprised by because it was a community center.
I think eventually they just took them all out. Yeah, I think eventually they just got rid of them all.
Yeah,
but. Or the game at the laundromat, Bubbles. God. Bubble Boy, whatever it's called. We like
bubble
shoot
boy.
The bubbles in
bubble
the air.
Bubble,
and...
bubble boy.
What about Clax? Clax. Okay. The thing with the squares that just went ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. I forgot what the point of the game even was, but.
Great. Regardless, we're getting off topic.
Great arcade game. Those blocks had a lot of personality. Number four.
Psycho!
So we have War from Darksiders. GTA.
All of these heroes are just completely obsessed and ridiculous.
Just like over the top and like... nuts. I said Kratos because he's just like he's always just like so. I mean, granted his family did die in a fire or whatever, and
oh, he killed them.
Yeah. Well, oh, right, he did kill them, but he's covered in their ashes, so he has a reason to be like slightly psychotic, but still.
Zeus, Hades, Ares.
I think since we already mentioned it, I think you could basically say. Every character in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Get over here! Fatality! Finish
you! Why are you ripping that man's spine out and swinging it around?
Your soul is mine!
I think he looked just like the same guy from the movie.
I just pictured the guy in the movie when you said that. Like, perfect. No,
I'm pretty sure his face was identical. I'm gonna Google it right now.
I think it was like it was the eyebrow movements. It was yeah, all about the eyebrow movements.
And he had the full mouth extension too.
I'm pretty sure that was that Shang Tsung.
Then what was the other guy that Shang Tsung was like? Like later on, he didn't matter anymore. Was it Goro?
Goro was.
He had four arms.
Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn, yeah, that's who it was.
Finish him.
Oh yeah, because he had that big evil helmet.
Yeah, creepy helmet thing. God. And then there was Shiva. She was like Goro's.
Yeah, but she only had three fingers.
Minotauro, or whatever his name.
Anyways,
number five, right? We still have one left.
Number five.
Can I see this here?
What's the take?
Oh, okay, I can do this one. So number five, and this is, I have to say the topic since we've gone so long. The worst character personality traits. Number five is depressing heroes, and we have a pretty good list here of Max Payne. The main characters from both the Bioshocks are Bioshock Infinite, Booker DeWitt, and the original Bioshock, Jack Ryan. And then pretty much both the main characters in The Last of Us.
Yeah. I mean, granted, the world went to shit, and they're like, they have not a lot.
All of these characters have just cause to be reasonably depressed. It's just they are depressed, and it's clear.
Yeah. Very rough life.
Yeah, the original Max Payne, like, I played that when I was, like, a teenager, like, really young, and I just remember it being, like, really, some of it was, like, poked fun and things, but at the same time, it was, like, kind of, like, depressing, like,
it was,
yeah. At some point, he's, like, I think he like, knows he's gonna die, and he's just, like, I gotta do this, and it's kind of, like, a recurring theme in the Max Payne games, like, he's just going into it, like, I don't care, I'm gonna go out on Blades of Glory, which is kind of, you know, it's a shitty, depressing thing to think about, but at the same time.
Yeah.
And that game did a good job of, like, you know, your kid dies at the beginning, and then you kind of have these flashbacks, and you have this, like, dream, because you get drugged, and so you have these kind of, like, acid flash, like, drug-induced, like, you know, levels and stuff. It was a very, like, intense game, I think, for its time, too. It was very depressing.
Yeah.
We don't need to tell you. Well, maybe we do need to tell you why Booker DeWitt and Jack Ryan are depressing. I don't know. I don't want to give away any spoilers for those who haven't played the games, but...
Yeah, I can't think of a more depressing game ending than the end of Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, no kidding. Really, it was like, boom.
Yep.
No, even the first one, too. That was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's me. The original Bioshock, that was, like, one of the best, like, I would put it, like, it rivals movies in terms of, like, storyline. When you get to a certain point and it hits you, and you're like, oh, man, wow. You know, you just did not expect that.
No.
Guys, they're so sad.
Well... That brings us to the end of the podcast, and we're just gonna quickly go through what we've been playing. So, Tim, what have you been playing?
I'm like itching right now to go play more Reaper of Souls. I'm like, I already hit level 70, so it's fun. It's it only adds one extra act to the game, so instead of four acts now, there's five acts. And the act is pretty short, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of new heroes. But I think the big thing is that it's called adventure mode. So it's kind of like you can play, but all the acts are combined. So you just kind of go in different places, do different things. And I don't know, it's fun. It's something exciting. I'm looking, the whole new loot system now is really cool. So you can get ridiculous legendaries that do random things. Someone posted one on Reddit the other day that summons a herd of murderous cows. It's just like really ridiculous. So
it's cool.
You know, it's cool. It's, it if you played the original, it's a good time to get back in and try it out.
Cool.
Nice. Steve.
Well, I just beat South Park Stick of Truth yesterday.
Nice.
And it was pretty good. It wasn't too long, I would say. It took me under 15, 20 hours total, probably. And I didn't do... I haven't obviously completely done all the collectibles and stuff like that, all the, like, perfection. But it was pretty good. The end was a little, like, anticlimactic, but the game was awesome. And pretty much all I have to say to sum up how awesome the game was is giant Nazi zombie fetuses. That's all I have to say. Awesome. So, I mean, actually, I won't... I mean, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't played it, but there's this, like, thing that turns, like, things into Nazi zombies. And they literally use, like, clips. I'm pretty sure they use, like, actual clips from Nazi Germany. Like, because it has this, like, grainy, old-time sound. And you, like, go to fight a rat, and it's just like, Time for Deutschland! And, like, puts his hand up. So good. It, like, it's so great. It sounds like that Red Alert 2 grainy, like. So, anyways, that was a great game. It was really good. I liked it. Enjoyed it. And then, actually, just tonight, I found out, I logged into Battle.net, and I found out that I have Heroes of the Storm Alpha, so I played that for a couple hours, and it's very alpha still, but it's cool, and I'll probably get more updates on that next week.
Nice.
Play it.
Cool. Charles.
I am still playing Kingdoms of Amalur. I'm also playing the Castlevania Lords of Shadow, and then I kind of went dabbled back into Diablo 3, because I know Tim was playing it. Not really any updates for any of those games. All of them kind of, I've got kind of tired of Kingdoms of Amalur because of the things I talked about in the last podcast. But Castlevania Lord of Shadows is doing pretty well. I'm enjoying it so far.
Excellent. I've been playing through... I'm almost finished with the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, the single-player portion of it. I'm almost... Well, I'm more than halfway to the Platinum on that. I got... Thomas was alone on Vita for... With PlayStation Plus this past week. And that's actually what I ended up playing in bed that one night. And... played through the entire game in one sitting. That was fun. It's like a, you're just like blocks and, going through like the inside of a computer. I think that's what the storyline is. And, it's like a puzzler platformer. And that is pretty much it. I got Infamous Second Son in the mail, but I haven't started it yet. So, I will soon, though.
Cool.
That's it.
Sweet.
So that brings us to the end of the podcast. I want to thank I, Miguel Martins, That Choffee, and Slick Rick Stick. For writing in this week. And I want to thank all of our listeners. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 30. And it's late, so... It's... I'm not going to bed. I'm going to play some more games.
He's transforming!
Out of control.
Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
Suck so bad, so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna. Shit.
What?
This, Jess is watching something in the other room, and it's extremely loud.
I can hear it.
So I'm gonna go have her turn it down.
Go do that.
Okay. Okay, we'll just cut this part out. Charles' reaction is always, shit.
Such good ending episode material right now.